The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you this morning. We pray God's blessings on our time together. Today we kick off National Lutheran Schools Week, and the school children will be singing for us. We're excited about that. We also begin our pre-Lent journey to the cross and empty tomb. Today is one of those wild, crazy Latin names for our church service and the day that we are honoring, Septuagesima. How's that for you? It basically means we're about 70 days before Easter, and we are already beginning to prepare our hearts to hear His Word, to listen, to believe, and to live as God has called us to. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear His Word and receive His gifts, rejoicing in the gift of holy baptism. When we have a baptism at the 8 o'clock service, you know that it comes toward the end of the service instead of the beginning because of the radio ministry that we have. So the little kids will get their water bottle during the offering. And then we'll have the baptism right after that. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 523, O Word of God Incarnate. Following that hymn, we'll pray Matins. That's on page 219 and following. We have a worship insert. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And the focus for our service today is our epistle reading from 9th and 10th, the 9th and 10th chapters of 1 Corinthians. Pastor Morundi and I were gone most of this week at the Fort Wayne Symposia. We left Vicar in charge, and so it was a good week. It was a very busy week. On Monday of this week, we had an emergency call to the hospital. The granddaughter of one of our members, Brent and Sherry Travis, was born on Monday. There were some complications to the birth. Vicar had the privilege of baptizing Margaret Ruby Rose Kluver, and then a few hours later, Margaret went to heaven. And so we keep the Travis family in our prayers, and we give thanks to God for the gift of holy baptism and the certainty that we would not have if it was not for this precious gift. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house today, to hear Your Word, to receive Your holy and precious gifts. Heavenly Father, there are so many times in this world when we do as we want, we do as we please, and we really couldn't care less what You want or what You please. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love, which loves us in spite of who we are. Your great love, which prompted You to send Jesus to live and die and rise again and give us forgiveness, life, and salvation. We thank You for the way that You deliver this eternal life to us through Your holy and precious Word and through the gift of the sacraments. Heavenly Father, keep us firm and strong in the faith. Be with all those who are wavering this day, and we ask for a special measure of Your comfort and peace upon the Travis and Kluver families. Heavenly Father, may their grief be overcome by the good news that is Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for them. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in Jesus' precious and powerful name. Amen. Amen. Hymn 523.
Worship Matins, page 219, we stand. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O God, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing a joyful voice to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His
as printed on your service insert, we chant them together.
Amen.
continue with our office hymn, hymn 566. You may be seated.
Thank you.
The Old Testament reading for Septuagesima is written in Exodus chapter 17. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
And with God again be one.
The epistle is written in 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. But I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others I myself should be disqualified. I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and to them he said, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love heaven.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the foundation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love
love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the epistle reading we heard just a moment ago from 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. especially the last verse. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the last verse of Psalm 19, King David pens these words, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." May my words and my actions, my thoughts, be pleasing to God. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased. You know, this theme of pleasing God is all throughout Scripture. And whether we realize it or not, we're very familiar with it. Some of the greatest stories recorded in Scripture, some of the great Sunday school favorites, all have to do with either pleasing or not pleasing God. Think back to King David. You know, King David, 1 Samuel 11 and 12, the time of the year when kings go out to war, King David stayed home. King David, looking out from his palace, seeing Bathsheba bathing in the moonlight. He's the king. It's good to be the king. King does whatever the king wants to do. He brought Bathsheba to him. A child was conceived. Now, how to cover up the sin? Well, I'll bring Bathsheba's husband back. They'll be together. No one will know the difference. But the pagan Uriah was more righteous than the king. He wouldn't go in and sleep with his wife. How can I do this when my men are sleeping out on the battlefield? And so King David devised a plan so that Uriah would be at the front lines where the fighting was the fiercest. Everyone would be pulled back and Uriah would die. Uriah brought the order by his own hand and didn't even realize it. Soon Uriah was dead. Bathsheba was free of her husband. David and Bathsheba got married. The sin was covered over, right? But the thing that David did displeased the Lord. Think back to the very beginning. God created Adam and Eve. Everything is perfect bliss. God gives Adam and Eve one command. Do not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you will eat of it, you will surely die. Satan comes and tempts Eve. Did God say you can't eat from any of these wonderful trees? No, just one. Oh, you won't surely die, said Satan to Eve. And then Eve, in perhaps one of the greatest examples of situation ethics, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasing to the eye and that the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. There is a stark contrast in God's Word between doing what we please and doing what pleases God. From the very beginning, in fact, the very first sin is doing what we please in contrast to what God clearly says. Think about it. Isn't that pretty much our life? Doing what we please, thinking what we please, saying what we please, acting however we please. Maybe we don't use that vocabulary much. If it feels good, do it. It's okay to look, just don't touch. Whatever makes us happy, whatever pleases us, that's what we do. That's what we gravitate toward. With little or no regard to what pleases God. In our text for today, that epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul gives us another great example. God had provided the greatest act of deliverance recorded for us in the Old Testament. The children of Israel had been in bondage for over 400 years. They cried out to God for deliverance and a deliverer. God heard their prayers. He raised up Moses, the great deliverer. "Let my people go," he says to Pharaoh. And after 10 plagues, humbled Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians, the children of Israel are set free. Pharaoh quickly changes his mind as the children of Israel are leaving and going toward the promised land. Pharaoh and all of his horsemen and all of the chariots, they come in hot pursuit. The children of Israel are blocked by the Red Sea. They can't go forward. They can't go backwards. What do? Moses lifts up the staff. The nostrils of God blow forth. The Red Sea waters are parted, and the children of Israel walk through on dry ground. Wall of water on each side of them. From slavery and death, through the Red Sea waters, to freedom and life on the other side. They walked through, they passed through the waters, and when Pharaoh and all of his armies tried to follow, the waters came crashing down. No more Pharaoh. No more hot pursuit. The horse and the rider are all dead in the sea. The children of Israel rejoiced. Rejoiced at the mighty hand of God. The mighty hand of God that had delivered them, that had given them new life. And what did the children of Israel do? Well, as we hear in our Old Testament reading from Exodus 17, they whined. And they grumbled. And they complained. They didn't get everything they wanted. They didn't get to do as they pleased. And so they blamed God. Paul tells us that the children of Israel that had passed through the waters, literally baptized by Moses through the Red Sea, they had been given the gift of eternal life. God's very presence. God giving them everything they needed to support the body and life. God feeding them with heavenly food, manna from above. Every day their needs were taken care of. It's hot in the desert. It's hot in the wilderness. And so God provided for them water. Water in abundance. Water from a rock. Miraculous delivery. Miraculous food. Miraculous drink. And what did the vast majority of the children of Israel do? They did what they pleased. They thought what they pleased. They acted out however they pleased, with no regard to the God who had delivered them, with no regard for the God who had given them life and salvation. My friends, what they did, like Adam and Eve, like David with Bathsheba, like each one of us, displeased the Lord. My friends, how easy it is to fall into that same trap. We who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we who have been given forgiveness, life, and salvation, death and slavery on one side, freedom and life on the other. We who have been given miraculous food and drink, Christ's very own body and blood to nurture us, sustain us for this journey called life. How easy it is for us to receive all of these things from God and either take them for granted or despise them. How do we take them for granted or despise them? By doing what we please. By thinking what we please. By living however we please, with no regard to what pleases God. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 10 to say that these words, these examples, are written as warnings for us, so that we don't fall, so that we don't lose our faith, so that we don't take for granted all that God has done for us. My friends, it has pleased God even in the midst of our sin. It has pleased God even in the midst of all of the times we turn our backs on God and His Word and whatever pleases Him. It has pleased God in spite of our sin to send His Son into the world to live that perfect life that we don't live, to die the death we deserve, to suffer and die, pleasing God, that perfect obedience, following the Ten Commandments, taking the hit we deserve. It has pleased God to raise the stone-cold body of Jesus from the dead, never to die again. And it has pleased God to deliver forgiveness, life, and salvation to you right here, right now, through the waters of holy baptism. Every time we hear the Word of God spoken and proclaimed into our ears, every time we feast on Christ in His holy meal, His body and blood, this is what pleases God, to love, to forgive, and to serve you. And He now says, my son, my daughter, hear my word. Believe my word. Live in my word. Love my word. In confirmation class, the 7th and 8th graders have been working through the Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray these petitions. And in the first three petitions, it really sums up the Christian life. How is God's name hallowed among us? God's name is holy in and among itself, but we pray in this petition that it would be holy among us also. How is God's name holy among us? When His Word is taught in its truth and purity, And we, as the people of God, believe it. Live it. Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom comes indeed without our prayer, but we pray that it would come among us also. How does God's kingdom come among us? When we believe His word and promises and lead holy lives according to it. Thy will be done. What is the good and gracious will of God? That His name be hallowed and His kingdom come. That we hear His word, that we believe His word, and that we live holy lives according to it. My friends, King David had it right in Psalm 19. His prayer, the prayer of every preacher when he steps in the pulpit, is the prayer of every Christian. And it's my prayer for us today. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to You, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we rejoice. We rejoice with the words of the Benedictus, page 226 and following. Please stand as you're able. Again, welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. At this time also, we worship God with our gifts and our offerings. And during the distribution of the offering, the little water bottles will be handed out to the children in preparation for the baptism.
Baptism is found on page 268, page 268 in the front part of your hymnal. Okay. Yeah, very good. All you guys, there we go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And the Apostle Peter has written, "Baptism now saves you." The Word of God also teaches us that we are all conceived and born sinful and under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as His own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. But the Father of all mercy and grace has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is your son named? Beckett David Schrader, receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart. to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, you condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing.